Masechet Avodah Zarah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Aleph. This Mishnah will talk about a joint venture between a Jew and a non-Jew, where the Jew approaches the non-Jew, for example, and says, you have the facilities, you have the wine press, you have everything needed in order to produce the wine, but you don't have the ability to make it kosher. Let me make the wine in your place. I'll make it kosher, and we'll have the ability to market it to Jews as kosher wine. So here we'll talk about, is he allowed to leave that completed wine in the property of the idol worshiper without it becoming forbidden to benefit from? Mishnah says, Hamtahed yeno shel oved kochavim. Somebody is preparing wine of an idol worshiper to be kosher. There's an understanding between them that he'll pay the idol worshiper for the wine after he sells it. Ve'notno b'rishuto b'beit ha'patuach l'rishut ha'rabim. Until he's selling it, or until it's ready to be sold, he wants to store the wine in the property, in the house of the idol worshiper that is in the Rishut HaRabim, that faces the public domain, out there in the public. If it's in a town where there's both Jews and Gentiles, that wine would be permitted to drink from. The idol worshiper, he's in this spot. It's open to the public. There's Jews around. In a way, everyone serves as the quasi-mashkiach for this type of wine. The individual here, the non-Jew, would be afraid to enter the building in case a Jew sees him and he knows that all of the wine would become unkosher. So therefore, that would be considered to be enough for the wine to still be kosher and benefit from, even though you have it within the property of the non-Jew. But if it was in a town where all of the townspeople were idol worshippers, then the wine would be prohibited to benefit from. Ad shioshiv shomer, unless there's an appointed mashgiach, in a way, a Jewish watchman who's going to watch over the wine and make sure that nobody will come in. If in that case, the non-Jew is not going to be entering. If you don't have a watchman, then the idol worshipper is not going to be afraid to enter because no Jews would see him and then report him as being not kosher. Ve'en ha-shomer sarich liyot yoshev, the watchman, the mashkiach that we're talking about, doesn't have to sit there and guard the wine the entire day. Even if he goes out and comes back in from time to time, the wine is considered to be permitted as long as he's around occasionally. What we just spoke about was the wine that was left in the property of the idol worshiper whose wine was prepared to be kosher. The implications of that are, if he stored it in the property of another idol worshiper, it would be permitted, even if there were no Jews living in that town. That person who's not the owner of the wine would be nervous to touch it, to be around it, lest people think that he's entering a spot that he doesn't have permission to, or that he's a thief. But this next part of the Mishnah will disagree. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, kol reshut ovdei kochavim ahad hi. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, no, it doesn't matter if he's the owner or not. All idol worshippers are the same. In other words, the wine's prohibited no matter what. When you have a town that's fully idol worshippers, it doesn't matter if it was started on the property of the man who made the wine or was prepared for him to be kosher or another idol worshipper. It doesn't matter. Simply, if it's within the realm, if it's in the access of an idol worshipper, you have to be nervous that they're going to use it as a libation on the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah, and therefore it becomes problematic no matter what if there's no Jew overseeing the process.